Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. If you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Well, hello, church. Hello, online family. My name is Brianna, and I'm one of the pastors here at CLCC. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas, got to spend lots of time with family, and got lots of rest over the holidays. Thanks so much for watching on this New Year's Eve weekend. What an honor it is to get to preach on the very last Sunday of 2023. I also get the honor of introducing our brand new sermon series that we're going to be going through over the next few weeks. Throughout this series, which we're calling Faith Through Feast or Famine, try saying that five times fast, we're going to look at the life of Joseph in Genesis and how throughout his life he faced trials and temptations and was given great responsibility and how God was faithful to him through it all. This story is packed with drama and twists and turns, so much so to the point that they actually made a musical out of it. The story of Joseph is not only one of God's providence, it's a story of his promises. Today we're going to start in Genesis 37 with the introduction of Joseph and who he is. And so Joseph was given a promise and a plan from God about what his life was going to be like. But it didn't happen for Joseph in the easiest of ways. The way Joseph's life turned out was not probably how he expected it to. Have you ever felt like your life is completely different than you expected? Maybe you didn't get that job you were sure you were going to get, or you didn't get into that program. Maybe you never expected to live where you live or work where you work. Maybe you had had completely different plans for how your life was actually going to turn out to be. And that's not necessarily always a bad thing. Sometimes our life is different than we expected, and it actually ends up being a lot better than what we had initially imagined. When this happens, we can see how our plan actually didn't match God's plan. And in these moments where it feels like it's worked out for the best, we can see how he's the one that's worked it out. But also in other times, these moments in our lives can be disappointing. It can be discouraging. It can leave us feeling like God doesn't care. It can lead us to think that because our life isn't going how we thought it would, that he actually just isn't with us anymore. For me, I experienced a little bit of this when I went to Bible college, and let me explain. I grew up as a pastor's kid, and so, like most of us, I vowed that I was never going to go into ministry. I was never going to work in the church, and I was for sure never going to be a pastor. Clearly, God had other plans. When I went and did what was supposed to be my 1 year of Bible college, I ended up feeling this pull to stay, this pull towards ministry, this pull towards loving on people. And it was something that I just couldn't ignore. And to be completely transparent, it was also something that I was really mad about, because it wasn't my plan. Now, over time, God obviously softened my heart towards the idea and really changed my perspective. And I absolutely love that I get to do this each and every single day. But it sure didn't feel that way at first. I can look back now and see how God worked out his plan for my life, and I can see his providence, but it doesn't always feel that way when we're in the middle of it. As we head into a new year, you might be looking back on 2023, and it might feel like nothing worked out how you wanted it to. It might feel like things took a completely different turn than what you had originally expected. And as we go through this series, we're going to learn that Joseph's life definitely didn't go the way he thought it would. But what we can learn from him is that God is faithful. Starting in Genesis 37 is when we meet Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob. And Joseph, at this time, was only 17 years old. And we read in Genesis 37, verse 3, that Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his other sons. He was the favorite. The text explains that this is because Joseph was born in Jacob's old age. And when we read a little bit further back in Genesis, his mother had been barren. This led to Jacob's favoritism of Joseph over his other children. So do we have any other favorite children out there? Now, most parents aren't going to admit that they have a favorite kid, but if you're the favorite, you know you're the favorite. My parents have never outright admitted that I'm their favorite, but I will say that I have always been the password child. You know, the password child is the kid who their parents use their name or their birthday or something about them as their passwords, which, of course, is a clear indication of favoritism. Now, my parents don't do that anymore, and if they do, they should probably change their passwords, since I just told you all about it. But just like I'm the password child, I would imagine Joseph would have been the password child as well, if that was a thing at this time. But through the life of Joseph, we see how things didn't exactly turn out the way he anticipated. He has a bit of a rocky journey. And yet, because as readers, we can see the bigger picture. We're able to see God's faithfulness all throughout his life and his story, just as God is and will be faithful in your story. We're going to pick up the story around Genesis 37, verse 5. And leading up to this, we learn that Joseph and his family lived in the land of Canaan. Joseph, again, being the favorite, brings a bad report about his brothers to his father. We don't know anything about this report, if it was warranted, what it included. All the text says is that it wasn't good. I'm sure this didn't help the tensions that were already building between Joseph and his brothers. I can just see this as Joseph being a classic little sibling. And if you have a younger sibling, you probably know what this is like. Or if you're like me and you are the younger sibling, you've maybe done this before. But then things between them get worse. Because his dad loved him the most, he gives him this beautiful robe to symbolize how much he cared for him. The description of this robe also gives us a few clues about Joseph's special treatment. It's described as a robe of many colors, or some translations might say a robe with long sleeves. And what this actually tells us is that this was not a robe for working. You weren't going to be out in the fields getting dirty in a robe like this. And so obviously his brothers see this, and the text says that they hated him and couldn't even bring themselves to speak kindly to him. Then we read this in verses 5 to 10. Then Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves of grain in the field. Suddenly my sheaf stood up, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." "Are you really going to reign over us?" his brothers asked him. "Are you really going to rule over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream and what he had said. We can see right away that Joseph's brothers understood what his dream meant. They realized that this was the Lord speaking to Joseph through this dream. It's important for us to remember that at this time, that was often how the Lord communicated to his people. Dreams like this weren't just dreams. They were messages from God. Let's continue in verse 9. Then he had another dream and told it to his brothers. "Look," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun, moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." He told his father and brothers, and his father rebuked him. "What kind of dream is this that you have had?" he said. "Am I and your mother and your brothers really going to come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So Joseph has these two very similar dreams, and they are not well received by his family. Through these dreams, they learn that Joseph, in some way, was going to rule over them. The indication is that they're going to bow down to him. This caused even more tension between Joseph and his brothers, and even with his dad after his second dream. His brothers were envious and jealous and angry. And so what do? They decide to kill him. Super rational decision, right? But as his brothers are plotting to kill him, one of them, Reuben, convinces them to just throw him in a pit instead, and he has the intention to come back for him later. He tries to do the right thing. He tries to stop his brothers by outsmarting them. But unfortunately, soon after they do this, some traders from Midian are going by on their way to Egypt. And so they sell Joseph to the Midianites and sell him into slavery. His brothers are cruel and cold, and in this passage, they show no remorse for what they've done to their brother. The chapter ends when Joseph's brothers tell their father that he was killed by an animal. In Genesis 37:36, we read this. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guards. What a cliffhanger, hey? If you want to know the rest of the story, I guess you'll just have to come back next week. But at the end of Genesis 37, it seems like hope is lost for Joseph. We really thought he was going to be this great ruler and to rule over people. And yet we finish this chapter by learning that he's been sold to an officer of Pharaoh. to be a slave by his own brothers. As we continue in his story over these next few weeks, we're going to see God's provision in his life. We're going to see how God was faithful. We're going to see how God fulfills his promises. But at the end of this chapter, we're really in the thick of things. Joseph has been sold into slavery. His dad thinks he's dead. He's probably thinking that he has no idea how these dreams are supposed to come to fruition. And at the end of this chapter, it doesn't seem like there's too much hope for Joseph. But if you know the story, you know that God does show up. You know that Joseph's dreams do come true. I'm sure some of you are feeling the way Joseph might have been feeling, though. You might be feeling like you're in the thick of things in your life. You might be asking, how can this possibly be God's plan for my life? And if that's you today, I hope that you can find some encouragement through what we can learn through Joseph in Genesis 37, because God has a plan. When we look at this story, it's really easy to look at Joseph's brothers and see how they were very clearly in the wrong. We can see how they didn't like God's plan, and so they decided to take matters into their own hands and try to change it. But how often do we do the same? Now, I would hope that we don't go quite as dramatic as Joseph's brothers did, but how often do we try and change God's plan? How often do we try and do it on our own? I think we're a lot more like Joseph's brothers than we think. Now, I know I said we were getting to the encouragement, but I think when we look at this story, we have to recognize that so much of it is actually just a reflection of the human condition. The human condition, because we live in a broken world, is to rebel against God. Our nature is to be selfish. It's to be jealous. It's to look out for ourselves. Our nature is to try and take control. But church, we can see through the story of Joseph that God always has a plan. And that he actually uses our rebellion, he uses our selfishness, he uses our brokenness to fulfill his plan. And as we go through the rest of this story over the next few weeks, we're going to see how God's plan was fulfilled both for Joseph and for his family. But it's not just Joseph. When we read through the entire Bible, we can see God working out his plan for individual people and for all of the world. We can see that he has a plan for people that are broken, that are marginalized, that are on the outskirts, people that nobody loved and that were in pain or hurting. And so many of the people that we read about in scripture also tried to rebel against God. But what we know, because we can see the bigger picture, is that God works his plan out for good. For us, when we try and take control, when we act like Joseph's brothers, and when we try and take matters into our own hands, what we're actually doing is just missing out on all of the good things that God has for us. It might not always look the way we want it to, but we can know that his plan is good, that he has a purpose for each and every single one of us. And our job is to listen and to be obedient. Our job is to surrender to him and let him take control. Now, again, for lots of us, we don't really like giving up control. I know I don't. But we can be confident to do this because God is faithful. God is faithful in Joseph's story, and God is faithful with you. In Psalm 105, verses 17 to 19, we read this. Joseph, sold as a slave, they bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Verse 19 really stands out here. We have this horrible image of Joseph as a slave, in pain, hurting, and yet the word of the Lord proved him true. In the Message translation, it reads, God confirmed his promise. The Lord was faithful to Joseph. The Lord's promises to Joseph were fulfilled. Now, we may not have gotten there quite yet, so I have been ruining the end of the story for you a little bit. But through the life of Joseph, we can know, even when life doesn't go our way, God is still faithful. I don't think Joseph expected to be made a slave and to leave his comfortable life with the favor of his father. I don't think Joseph expected the pain and hardship he was going to have to go through. I don't think Joseph expected his life to turn out at all like it did, but God was still faithful. I'm sure there were many moments where Joseph didn't feel like God was being all that faithful. But again, because we can see the bigger picture, we're able to see how God worked in every detail of Joseph's life. Not only did God work out his plan for Joseph's life, but through Joseph, he worked out his plan for the future of the Israelites. You might not know why your life is the way it is right now. it might feel wrong and confusing, and you might be asking God, why did you put me here? Why me? Why now? Why this? But church, I hope today you can be encouraged through the story of Joseph that God is and will be faithful to you. You might just be in a spot like Joseph was at the end of Genesis 37, where you just can't quite see it yet. We can see the bigger picture of Joseph's story because it's written down, but it's a little harder to see the bigger picture in our own lives sometimes. Especially if things are hard, or you feel like God has abandoned you, or maybe you feel like, how could God possibly be using this for something good? The pain and hardship we go through is very real. Sometimes life just hurts. You might be glad to leave 2023 in the past and head into the new year, hoping for a fresh start. I know that life is painful sometimes. So church, I hope if you're watching today, you feel encouraged that God really is truly faithful, that he will work in your life. This might just be like the end of Genesis 37 for you, and you're in the thick of it. And it's hard to see right now how he's going to work, but I know that he will. It might not be how you expect. It might not even be necessarily what you want. But I know that he will work in your life and that he has a plan for you because he is faithful. The word of the Lord will prove true in your life. His promises will be confirmed, just like in Joseph's life. As we look at the story of Joseph, we are faced with a crucial question that we have to ask ourselves. When faced with God's plan for our lives, how will we react? Because really, we have two choices. Are we going to react like Joseph? Are we going to have faith that God meant it for good? Are we going to trust in what the Lord has promised us? Or are we going to react like his brothers? Are we going to try and take things into our own hands? Are we going to hold on to control and try to do it on our own? Because if we can learn anything from Joseph, it's that God is faithful. It's that God works his plans out for good. It may not look the way we want it to, but as we continue in this series, we're going to see the incredible ways that God fulfilled his promises to Joseph. We're going to see how even though it was unexpected, he never left Joseph behind. He was always with him. And we're also going to see how Joseph continuously and consistently trusts in what God is doing in his life. 2023 may not have looked how you expected it to, whether that's a good thing for you or a bad thing. Life often doesn't go how we expect it to. But as you look back on this year, I hope you're able to see where God was working in your life. I hope you're able to see that he was present with you in everything. He was with you in your pain. He was with you in your joy. He was with you in the changes and the unexpected and the disappointments and the excitement. He was with you through it all. And as we head into 2024, ask yourself if you're willing to have faith in God's plan for you. Ask yourself if you're willing to let him be in control of your life. Are you willing to surrender it all to him? Because Joseph wasn't the only one who God was faithful to. We see stories of God's faithfulness and provision and fulfillment of promises throughout all of Scripture. Most notably, we see this with Jesus. Jesus spent his adult life being mocked and ridiculed and eventually killed and hung on a cross. And yet God had a plan the entire time. God had a plan for redemption for you and for me through the death and resurrection of his Son. But to get there, Jesus had to go through pain. He went through suffering. He was betrayed by someone close to him, and then he died the death of a criminal. And yet, God used all of these things and raised Jesus to life again and conquered death so that you and I can have life. And if you're in a place where life is really difficult, maybe this past year was really hard, I first want to say that I'm sorry that you're going through that. But I also want you to know that God uses our brokenness and our pain to work out his plans, that he is with you, that he is for you, he loves you, and he will never leave you. He'll bring you out of this onto the other side. If you're here and you feel like you're existing in God's plan for you and you're being obedient to him, I want to encourage you too. He is with you. He is for you. He will never leave you, and he loves you. As we head into 2024, let's remember to be faithful to the Lord as Joseph was, especially when we're faced with God's plan that might not look like our plan does, because we know that he is faithful even when life doesn't go our way. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for each person that is watching today. I thank you for the ways that you've worked in our lives in this past year. And I thank you that we get to look ahead into 2024 and what it is that you're going to do next for each and every single one of us. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives, that we can know that You love us and you are there for us and you are working even when life is hard. Thank you that your plans are good. We lift up 2024 to you, Lord. We give it to you. We surrender it to you. And we just can't wait to see what you're going to do next in each one of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you're looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Our Abbotsford campus has two services each Sunday, 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at clcc.ca/give. See you next time.